Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr, I am, and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. In certain states across the United States of America, it is Election Day, and we have numerous stations here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who, in which there are many people who live who ought to go to the booth, the ballot, and cast a ballot and vote, and I would encourage you to do that. It is your great responsibility and privilege as a citizen, as a Christian citizen, to do it. And so please do not sit home and say, well, I'm disgusted with everybody. My vote doesn't count. Well, if you're disgusted with everybody, vote for somebody who maybe might be able to make a difference. And by the way, your vote does count. So get out and vote. Very, very important. And even though you might think it's an election that isn't too significant, well, every election is significant, and you've got the privilege and the opportunity and the right and the responsibility to do it. So do I, and so let's all make sure that we do it. We are keeping our eyes on what's taking place with this Russian airliner that was shot down, and Sam, I don't know if we have any new information on that at all. It just seems like the information that we do have is from A to Z, from soup to nuts, all across the board, as to what everybody's trying to say might or might not have happened. It's a very interesting scenario to follow here.
Well, it is, Gary, and I think it's worthy of noting this because it has the potential of going significantly one direction or another. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but people should be aware. And but it ranges from this. There are some speculations out there that say that the crash never, ever happened, that it was really something that was doctored up, maybe by Russia, by video and so forth, doctored it up. That's one. I don't know that I agree with that, but they run that range. Two, the fact of ISIS claiming that they were the ones that shot it down. So some from the Pentagon say it was not possible. Russia does not rule it out. Egypt and some of the others say it likely it was. So it's all over the board. Take your pick. It could have been that, but some video says there was no contrail showing it, so it probably was maybe a bomb on board. Well, if it was a bomb on board, then it would be terrorist. So right now the questioning and thinking tends to be going, was it terrorist created? And if it was terrorist created, was it a missile or was it a bomb? I think, Gary, at the end of the day, Russia is going to be very, very key in the interpretation of determining who did what, because if it was a terrorist action, in fact, against Russia, I do not believe that Putin or Russia will stand back and do nothing. I do see a scenario where if they can somehow claim some legitimacy to ISIS, that it may be, in fact, an excuse for Russia to enter into Egypt and to actually begin some operations on the ground there against ISIS, which has been a problem for the Egyptian government. So this is one to watch. It's not settled yet, and the possibilities still surface almost by the hour.
Well, it is. And Dave, do you have anything that you want to add to that? I know you're following that story as well.
Well, Gary, earlier, maybe an hour ago, I saw the latest reports, and of course, this is coming from the Pentagon. They're stating that they picked up from heat-sensitive technology some flashpoints that they believe occurred not outside the airplane, but within the aircraft itself, and they're suggesting that there was probably some type of an explosive device on board, or there was an explosion created by some malfunction of the airplane itself. I know some have said that that could not create this kind of catastrophic, this specific kind of catastrophic event. But now they're saying that's what they think it was. They're also discussing the possibility of the tail section of that plane, which was damaged in a hard landing a while back, may have sustained damage that was not noticed. And of course, the way the Russians take care of planes, the type of service they do to the planes is unknown. So it's, you know, there's all kinds of things out there. But what they're saying now is they believe that whatever caused the plane to come down occurred inside. And they're basing that on some of the technology, flashpoint, heat sensitive technology that they have applied to this situation.
I saw a former pilot on some news program say last night that he would never fly in a Russian airline anyway because they don't have the standards that we have here in the United States of America, so he'd be very skeptical to fly in any of their aircraft. We will do what we can, ladies and gentlemen, to keep up on this for you, so stay tuned to us here at Stand in the Gap. We want to mention that during the second segment today, we're going to be having with us Michael Berry, who is Senior Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for the Liberty Institute. He's going to be speaking with us concerning the matter with Coach Joe Kennedy out at Bremerton High School in Washington, so you'll not want to miss out on that second segment. But before we get there, it's interesting to note that yesterday in Newark, New Jersey, President Obama ordered federal agencies to stop asking most prospective employees about their criminal histories at the beginning of the application process, a change long sought by activists to help reintegrate former inmates into society. During his trip to Newark yesterday, where he visited a residential drug treatment center, Mr. Obama said that America would be stronger, if it found ways to move criminals emerging from prison into paying jobs, but that too many employers dismiss applicants out of hand if they are honest and check the box asking whether they have been convicted of a crime. Barack Obama said there are people, and I quote, there are people who have gone through tough times. They've made mistakes, but with a little bit of help, they can get on the right path. And that's what we have to invest in. That's what we have to believe, and that's what we have to promote, end quote. Sam, your thoughts on that? Would doing what Mr. Obama says strengthen our nation or weaken our nation?
Well, Gary, it depends on, frankly, what these charges were against these criminals. If they were nonviolent charges, generally nonviolent charges, don't end up being crimes per se. You could have a drug violation, perhaps. But the problem of it is here, we don't know who these people are. And we don't know for sure what kind of crimes they are that they committed. Putting a criminal who's not repentant and not really changed in his life back on the streets is hardly in anybody's public interest.
Do you think that this may be a way, Dave, to release some convicted Muslims out into society?
Well, Gary, to be honest with you, I think what's going on is this. Since there's so many crooks already in federal government and this executive order applies to federal employees only, I think the reason that he's done this is to not get anybody of integrity in there to make all of the other crooks and criminals feel uncomfortable. In all honesty, Gary, we laugh about it. You almost have to laugh because this is so tragic. It does apply to federal employees only at this point. It does not apply to contractors, federal contractors. But the question is this the first step toward this same type of executive action taking place within the private sector? If that's the case, Gary, even if it's not the case broadly, it is a danger for Muslim elements. Yes, absolutely. I think that's an issue of great concern.
Can't you wait to see who all and how many he pardons at the end of his administration, guys?
Can't wait.
My. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we will have with us Michael Berry, who is Senior Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for the Liberty Institute. We will be talking about the situation with Coach Joe Kennedy out of Bremerton High School in Bremerton, Washington. So stay tuned. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On November 3rd, 1924, in a radio address to the nation from the White House, President Calvin Coolidge stated, "I urge all voters of our country, without reference to party, that they assemble tomorrow at their respective voting places in the exercise of the high office of American citizenship, that they approach the ballot box in the spirit that they would approach a sacrament." President Coolidge continued, "Make your choice of public officers solely in the light of your conscience. When an election is so held, it sustains the belief that the voice of the people is the voice of God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them, I thought it was Ronald Reagan. My teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And as we mentioned, we have with us on the line Michael Berry, who is Senior Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for Liberty Institute. And in that particular position, Mr. Berry focuses on religious liberty within the armed forces. He is a recognized subject matter expert and has testified before Congress on matters affecting religious liberty in the armed forces, and we are delighted to have him with us today. We have been talking quite a bit over the past week or two about the situation with Coach Joe Kennedy out in the Bremerton High School. And, of course, Joe is being represented by the Liberty Institute. Mr. Barry, welcome. Glad to have you on Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's an honor to have you with us. And we've got a few questions we'd like to ask you, and we only have you for about 15 minutes or so, so we're going to jump right into it. I'm wondering if you could speak to the latest that is occurring with Coach Joe Kennedy out there at the Bremerton High School. Why is his insistence on taking a knee at the end of a football game not a constitutional violation?
Well, the Constitution protects the rights of all Americans, which includes clearly school children and school teachers, you know, and that would include a football coach for a public school to observe their sincerely held religious beliefs. I mean, if a Jewish school teacher can wear a yarmulke, if a Muslim school teacher can wear a hijab, if a Sikh, coach can wear a head covering, then certainly a Christian coach can simply take a knee and bow his head and offer a 15-second prayer of thanksgiving, and especially if it's a silent one, as Coach Kennedy's done since 2008.
Yeah, and Mike, this is Sam. Glad to be with us here today. Following up on that, what's precipitated the action by those there at that school? Is someone bent out of shape because they are holding to a different view? Why are they wanting to make such an issue out of this with the coach?
Well, that's a great question, Sam. And this goes back to, a couple months ago, or maybe even towards the end of last season, an administrator from the school district happened to be watching one of the Bremerton High School football games and saw what was happening at midfield at the end of the game. Now, this requires a little bit of history here. So Coach Kennedy was doing this from day one since he's been on the job as a coach in 2008, and it started with him doing it by himself. He would literally, after the game was over, the clock hit zeros and the referee blew the final whistle, he would just walk quietly by himself to the 50-yard line, take a knee, and give a prayer of thanksgiving. And he was giving thanks for the opportunity to coach these young men, for their safety on the field, and just for the teamwork and camaraderie that he saw, during the game. And over time, some of the players began to ask what he was doing, and he explained to him he was just giving thanks for them and the opportunity to coach them, and what a blessing that was. And a couple of the players said, hey, well, we'd like to participate. Are we allowed to do that? And he said, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want. And so two or three joined him, and then, 5 to 10, and 15, 20, and eventually he had, quite a few members of the team. So, and that over the years became where members of the Bremerton High School team would begin to invite players from the other team to, hey, come on out and join us. And again, this was the students who were doing this, not the coach. The students are the ones that approached coach. The students are the ones that approached the other team, the other team, so on and so forth. Well, fast forward to present day. You've got an administrator who observes this, where these kids have been battling for 48 minutes on the gridiron. They are bitter rivals on the field of competition, but then after the game, they come together, and there's a spirit of unity, of camaraderie, of hard work, etc. And the administrator went to the principal at Bremerton High School and paid him a compliment and said, man, this is a great thing you guys got going out here. This is amazing. These kids were like rivals one minute, and then now they're locked arms the next. That's fantastic. I don't know what you guys are doing, but keep doing it. And, the old saying is no good deed goes unpunished. Well, the principal kind of started scratching his head and thought, well, man, that sure sounds like a violation of church and state to me, and began to look into it. And that's really what precipitated this whole ordeal, was a compliment paid to the school district or to the high school that then led to some kind of, investigation or inquisition.
Wow. Michael, this is Dave, and during the 10 o'clock hour on Fox News this morning, your boss, Kelly Shackelford, was on with Coach Kennedy, and one of the things he noted during that interview was that he has reached out, Liberty Institute has reached out on a number of occasions to the school district to try to have a meeting with the school district officials, and each of those attempts has been rebuffed by the school district. In other words, the school district just refuses to meet with you guys at Liberty Institute to even discuss the administrative leave that Coach Kennedy has been placed on. Do you have any idea why they will not sit down and talk to you guys. Your boss said, look, this could be resolved easily because this is clearly an infringement on Coach Kennedy's constitutional rights, but they won't even sit down and converse. Any idea why they won't?
I don't have the first idea why the school district refuses to meet with us. I traveled to Bremerton twice myself to meet with Coach Kennedy and made myself available to meet with the school district officials when I was up there. We let them know we'd love to sit down, have a face-to-face with you. We think we can resolve this. We think we're actually pretty close on a lot of these issues. And really, we just like the opportunity to sit down and meet, and we think we can get past this. And the farthest we were able to get is a short, brief conversation on the phone with the school district's attorneys. And that's as far as we got. And every time we offered to meet, they appear unwilling or just, you know, to disregard our offers to sit down and resolve this and say, look, we don't need to litigate this. There's no need to take this into the courts. We think the law is strongly in our favor. We're pretty sure you guys are violating the Constitution here if you've read it recently. And you're violating federal law as well. And so, and now you have, and to make matters worse, you know, the school district, they've taken a number of actions. You know, they issued a letter back in September telling Coach Kennedy, here's, you know, things that you, you're allowed to do and you're not allowed to do. And Coach Kennedy said, great, I'll comply with that, because it was really just saying, you know, you can't be you cannot appear to be leading the kids in prayer. And Coach Kennedy was like, I'm not doing that anyway. So that's great. I'll just keep, you know, I have no problem complying with that. And in fact, he then chose a time to take a knee when it was highly unlikely that any kids would be near him. In fact, he chose the time when the kids were over in the stands singing the fight song. And so, of course, the kids are over there singing the fight song. They're not going to be standing next to him. And that's when he did it. And then he was going to do it again for the last game of the season. And that's when the school district, so he'd complied with, you know, they kind of gave him a directive. He said, I'll comply with that. And literally hours before the final game of the season, this would have been the senior night, the last game for a lot of these seniors, probably the last game many of them will ever play in football competitively for the rest of their lives. And Coach Kennedy has spent the last 4 years mentoring them, coaching them, training them. He's invested a lot into these kids. And to have the rug pulled out from underneath him at you know, the proverbial 11th hour was very, very painful for him, because that's what the school district did, was they changed the rules. They changed the rules. And so hours before kickoff, they said, oh, actually, what you did last week, we also have a problem with that now. And so literally taking a moment of silence, they said, we can't allow that either, because we think that that would violate the Constitution. Well, I mean, clearly the moment of silence does not violate the Constitution. In fact, down here in Texas, we had a case that went all the way up to the federal Fifth Circuit, in which there was a state law that required a moment of silence during the school day, and that law was upheld as constitutional. So if there's a state law that says you must have a moment of silence during the school day, then certainly a coach acting on his own privately after school, after a football game, having a moment of silence would be okay. And the school district says, no, you're not allowed to do that. And if you do it, we're going to fire you. So that's where we are today. We think the school district is acting just so far outside the bounds of the law and of Department of Education guidelines on how to handle these things. Yeah. And we've said, if we can meet with you, we can resolve this. We can avoid this thing getting any worse. And they're just not interested.
They're not interested in meeting. And it seems like they themselves have an atheistic or an unconstitutional approach to this. And, you know, it seems like almost every week now we hear where some football player has been reprimanded because after he made a touchdown, he pointed the finger up to heaven. And my question is, and we have about 30 seconds today, Michael, but what are the ramifications for religious liberty nationwide as a result of this incident and others similar to it across the country?
Well, I think the ramifications are huge. If a coach cannot simply observe a moment of silence, if a public employee cannot observe a moment of silence, and the government, in this case a school district, can fire that employee for simply observing their sincerely held religious beliefs, then they can tell anybody who happens to be a public employee what they can and can't do. As I mentioned earlier, the Jewish employee can no longer wear a yarmulke. The Muslim employee can no longer wear a hijab. And a Christian couldn't wear a cross necklace.
I was going to say, he couldn't wear a cross necklace or anything like that either. It's sad. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Barry, and keep up the good work there at the Liberty Institute. And Hopefully we'll be able to have you back with us one of these days with some good news on this particular situation. And ladies and gentlemen, we would encourage you to continue to pray for Coach Joe Kennedy and the Liberty Institute as they are standing with him and for him in that particular situation out in Washington. We are going to take a break, but we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network right after these messages, so don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The first remains from the plane crash on Saturday in Egypt are being identified by victims' families in Russia.
A Pentagon official with access to the latest intelligence report of the crash of the Russian airliner told Fox News that the plane was not shot down. The U.S. intelligence community cannot rule out terrorism. Investigators have recovered the plane's black boxes and are now trying to determine why the plane exploded in midair over the Sinai.
Fox's John Decker. It's election day.
Two of the 50 states will pick new governors today, Mississippi and Kentucky, in which a race for the open governor's seat is tight despite an overwhelming number of registered Democratic voters in the state. And 300 U.S. cities will pick mayors, including Houston and in Philadelphia, where next year the Democrats will hold their national convention.
Fox's Evan Brown. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Today, November 3rd, is Election Day here in Pennsylvania, and there are a variety of offices on the ballot depending on where you live. But perhaps most importantly are the judicial elections, including an unprecedented 3 openings on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The differences in the candidates for those races are stark, so it behooves you to find out where these candidates stand on some key issues. Thankfully, we make that easy for you with our online voter's guide. You can access it at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org. And let others know about this resource as well, and then make sure to go out and vote today, November 3rd. Polls in Pennsylvania are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. Sign up for free email alerts at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to follow up a little bit more on this discussion that we had with Michael Berry, the senior counsel and director of military affairs at Liberty Institute. But before we get into that, just want to mention that we encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap website, www.standinthegapradio.com, and there you can correspond with us. Of course, you can always call us online here, too, at 1-877-667-1180 is the toll-free number, or 610-539-TALK. There's a situation that we are following, and if we can get any more information for you as the program goes on, we will relate that to you as well. But the information that we have is that the United States Air Force F-15s have been released to Turkey to counter Russian air power that, is being produced over there. We're trying to follow that a little bit even as we speak. And if anything further comes up while we are on the air, we will bring you that to your attention. And, folks, I just want to say, and Sam and Dave, I know that you'll no doubt agree with me, but when you see what's taking place up around Syria and Turkey and up in there, and even what's taking place down in the Sinai with this particular aircraft being shot down, and what's taking place with Iran, things are heating up more now in the Middle East than ever before. I think we need to keep looking up, because we could hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, Sam. Things are coming together rapidly.
Well, Gary, it really is. That's why it's important for us to look at what's happening, but through a biblical filter. And certainly that's the case. The alignment of nations in the Middle East is just so fast. Let's put it this way, the realignment, and that's the critical thing, the realignment, historical coalitions between friends and allies of the United States are flipping and shifting around to now becoming friends and allies of Russia. That when Russia comes in and replaces the United States as the predominant power in the Middle East, which is exactly what's happening right now, you know that there is a fundamental shift that's underway, the implications of which are very huge and pronounced, not just economically, but militarily, but all kinds of things. So this is what's taking place, which is why this reference here, even to the airliner going down, has implications that all of these different parties are all trying to position this thing, I think, to their own interest and advantage, propaganda-wise, because every one of them, all of these sides, want to come out on top of the pile as a result of this issue. So, yeah, bear watching. It really is. It's an amazing day.
Well, it is. And so keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen, as we always say. I want us to drop back a little bit to this situation with Michael Berry, and, well, particularly with the situation with Coach Joe Kennedy. You know, fellas, many times when you see something like this taking place on a school campus where somebody is told they can't point the finger up to heaven after a touchdown, or when somebody prays or wants to pray, or the Ten Commandments become an issue, it seems like a lot of the times there are the folks from the ACLU or the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State or whatever it may be who is really behind the situation. Dave, it doesn't appear as though that's the situation out here in Washington at the Bremerton High School. It just seems as though there must be a group of atheists or people who disrespect the things of the Lord in the administration and on the board out there that really do not understand what the Constitution says and are trying to make it very, very difficult to Coach Kennedy as well as others. And, my question is, what can we do in America today? What must we do in America today to fight this type of a thing? You know, the Bible tells us in Jude that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. That means to stand for the truth that's in the Word of God. What must we as American Christian citizens do to stand for the truth and the freedoms and the ability that a Coach Bremerton has to pray out there in public, for a football player to be able to put his finger up in the air and give God praise? What must we do in these days when there seemingly is a departure from constitutional truth in our country?
Well, Gary, number one, we live our faith on a daily basis, just like Coach Kennedy has done. And we live it aggressively. We live it consistently, faithfully. And we do that. And that's first and foremost. And then we stand behind Coach Kennedy in what he is doing as far as his expression of his religious faith. In fact, tonight is Bremerton High School's first state playoff game. Coach Kennedy will be watching that game from the stands as a spectator. And gentlemen, what I've been wondering is this. I wonder if he, as a private citizen, as a person who is no longer a coach at the Bremerton High School, he's been suspended with pay, thankfully, but he has been suspended. He cannot coach, which is what he wants to do. He wants to be on the sidelines. But I'm wondering if he'll walk out to the 50-yard line as a spectator, as an observer of the game, take a knee at the 50-yard line and exercise his religious liberties to do that. Now, gentlemen, if he were to do that tonight, and if the school were to be upset and bring against him any further penalty, fire him completely for doing that as a private citizen, that would speak volumes as to what the motivations of the Bremerton School District, the parties that are involved in this, and whoever it is that's exerting this enormous pressure. And Gary and Sam, it has to be enormous pressure being brought from someone to cause the school district to act in such an unconstitutional manner. I mean, this is over the top. This is a clear violation of this man's First Amendment rights. And so so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But we live our faith, Gary. We live our faith. And then when something happens like this to a gentleman like Coach Kennedy, who's a brother in Christ, and he's living out his faith, we support him. And by the way, I would encourage our listening audience to go to libertyinstitute.org/Coach Kennedy. That's libertyinstitute.org/Coach Kennedy. And when you get there, you can send a letter of support to Coach Kennedy, and they're encouraging people all over America to do that. There have been literally hundreds of thousands of people, according to the interview today on Fox News that the coach did with Kelly Shackelford, the head of Liberty Institute. Hundreds of thousands have responded in support of Coach Kennedy from all over the United States and parts of the world. Please lend your name to that growing list of supporters by going to libertyinstitute.org/Coach Kennedy.
That's excellent, Dave, and I think that every one of us should do that. We need to do things like this. Sam, where have we lost this battle? You know, I mean, I remember when we had prayer and Bible reading in the public school, and I know about the Madeline Maria Hare case and all of this, but it almost appears like in the last two generations, Christians have really backed down. I mean, we have every right. We have every right in this United States of America to have the Bible reading publicly in schools, or we have every right to go out and kneel and pray at the 50-yard line if we happen to be a football coach. Where have we dropped the ball as the Christian community?
Well, Gary, I think the ball has been dropped on our side because we have probably for a long time felt like the freedoms that we have in this country, that it would be impossible for us ever to conceive that we would lose them. You know what? I mean, that's one thing. So the result of it is we don't step up. We don't fight back as much. We don't speak out as we ought to. But, you know, Gary, on the other hand, it shows me the I don't know if the stupidity is the right word, but the blindness of those that are in positions of authority now who actually want to do more than just deprive a person, a coach here in this case, of exercising his First Amendment right to bow his head and pray. They're doing more than that, because what they're doing is as the administrator complimented, as what Mike Berry, the attorney, shared with us earlier, when the administrator saw the team players from the opposite team voluntarily come together after a heated conflict on the ground to come together as friends in unity and to bow their heads and pray, said, isn't this something wonderful to be rejoiced about? See, Gary, there's more here than just that individual's right. It's a purging. There seems to me to be a desire to purge all of these Christ-like activities. Unity in that fashion is a Christ-like thing. It's an important thing. It's a wholesome thing. It's an important thing. It reminds me very much of the Supreme Court when they took the said that the Ten Commandments couldn't hang in the classrooms years ago. They said, we want to take them off the classrooms lest our students read them and then do them. I mean, how terrible can it be if a student says, I'm not going to steal from my friend. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to lie. They said, we want to get rid of this Christ-like behavior. This is what's really, this is a purging of all that is right and good.
Well, it is. And, of course, you know, we here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, have been involved with the Ten Commandments Project that I'll talk about a little bit more later on. But, you know, I think one of the problems is that our schools today, Sam and Dave, have gone from being public schools to governmental schools. They're no longer public.
Absolutely, Gary.
And if they were public, then people could practice their faith or their religion in any way, shape, or form that they would want to or would not want to. But the fact of the matter is that the government has taken over the schools. No longer is it the public school that's run by the people in the community. It is a governmental school run by those powers to be who are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-biblical. When we come back, we'll continue this topic, perhaps. We'll go to the telephone and have a phone caller, but we don't want you to run away. So stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We'll take about a four-minute vacation, but then we'll be back with more right after this.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hello, this is Nancy Becker, your Recorder of Deeds, and I'm privileged to be here at WFYL to talk about why one vote does make a difference. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1800, one vote gave Thomas Jefferson the presidency of the United States. In 1824, one vote gave John Quincy Adams the presidency of the United States of America. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the presidency of the United States. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler leadership of the Nazi Party. In 1941, one vote saved the draft just weeks before Pearl Harbor was attacked. In 1948, one vote gave Lyndon Johnson the United States Senate seat. Make your voice heard. Exercise your right to vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
The 15th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to a phone call in just a minute, but I mentioned before we went into the break about the Ten Commandments project that we've been involved with here in our city, Altoona, Pennsylvania. A number of years ago, we got the local school district, which at that particular point was the 11th largest school district in Pennsylvania out of 501 school districts. I think there are now just 500 school districts here. And we are probably no longer the 11th largest. But nevertheless, through a process of time, we got them to agree to post the Ten Commandments, and they were posted in the public school. Of course, after a period of time, they were suspended because everybody and his brother wanted to hang everything up there as well, and that's just an issue. But ever since then, on a regular basis, we distribute a Ten Commandments bookmark to the students, all the students in the Altoona School District, elementary, junior high, and senior high. And we've got the blessing of the school administration and board to do that. And we're going to be doing it again in just a couple of weeks. So, you know, there are ways to get the truth out there, even though there are those who would like to try to prevent the truth from being out there. I think every pastor and every Christian citizen and every community just needs to stop and think, now what can I do to get out the truth of the Word of God in my community to the glory of God? God will give you some direction on that. We want to take a phone call. We've got Tom on the line. Tom, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Say, with this coach, you know, having trouble with the prayer there, where's this pastor at? You know, where the church, local church is there. They should be gathering around him going out on the field, too. They should do. That's how you stop this nonsense.
That's a good idea. And, Dave, I don't know. I know you're fairly familiar with what goes on out there in the northwestern part of the United States of America. Have you heard anything about pastors standing with Coach Kennedy on this?
You know, Gary, I have, and I appreciate Tom's call, and that is a great point. From what I'm hearing, Gary and Sam and Tom, the pastors of the area, specifically Coach Kennedy's pastor, they are standing with him. In fact, if you'll notice some of the video clips of the players that are gathered around Coach Kennedy that have been out on the Internet as well as shown on some of the news networks, you will see a number of other adults standing in close proximity to the coach, and those are actually the pastor of Coach Kennedy's church, some of the other pastors in the area, as well as family members, parents of kids who play on Coach Kennedy's team that are all rallying to his support. In fact, the Bremerton community, which, you know, is in the northern part of the state of Washington up near the Canadian border, is a somewhat conservative area. Of course, you've got liberal sections of Washington State, Seattle, of course, very, very liberal area. But this is a conservative community, and the community as a whole has rallied to Coach Kennedy, and they're supporting him unequivocally, as is the religious community there. So they are standing with him. There's just not been a lot said about it in the media.
Okay. Well, I say they continue to do it and get their congregations even more involved. And if they get a judge involved, it's tell the judge, you know, you have no jurisdiction here to tell us what we can do. This is a constitutional protected exercise, and not allowed to stop it. Only Congress can make these laws, and Congress isn't allowed to, prohibit free exercise of religion.
Well, you know, I think, Tom, what you're saying is absolutely true, and that is that, you know, the the citizenry of the United States of America must stand up in a case like this, and thank the Lord for those who are standing with Coach Kennedy. But, you know, what about some of these other situations? You know, just again, last weekend somewhere, there was a football player. When he made a touchdown, he pointed his finger up to heaven, and he was reprimanded for that. I think that's happened two or three times in the last couple of weeks. And I believe, fellas, that every time something like that happens, that the people in that community needs to stand up and speak out to get the attention of the local government, Sam, to get the attention of the state legislators. Don't you think that if every time something like that took place, that the people in the capital of that particular state would begin to take notice, and perhaps there would be some at least who would do something about it? Don't you think that's a possibility?
Oh, Gary, absolutely. It's not only a possibility. I think it is a tremendous recipe and a suggestion that we put out there for all those who are listening to us across the country. This happens to be in Washington, but whether our listeners today are in Texas, Oklahoma, or wherever they are across the country, these kinds of things occur. And we often say, what can we do? Well, Tom's good suggestion was just one of them, very practical. In every case where there's a violation of a biblical right or a constitutional right, our pastors and congregation should, yes, absolutely rally around them. And as we try to encourage relationships between our pastors and those in office who are there as ministers of God, we know if they stand together, Gary and Dave, it would have a significant impact in helping to push back these assaults against both biblical and constitutional freedoms.
You know, Sam, what's interesting to me is this. What happened in Alabama when I was down there about a week and a half ago, I went to a 7A football game, and two large public schools were playing. And before the game began, they had public prayer over the intercom system. Everybody bowed their head and participated in that public prayer. So here's the state of Alabama, who believes they have a right to make these decisions on their own. Prayer's been a part of the fabric of that state and of that local community for literally decades on end. And so in one sense, in a very sacred way, they're defying all of these attempts to silence God and prayer and the recognition of God in the public marketplace, in the public education system. They're defying that and just doing it anyway. And you've not heard one attack whatsoever against those schools. They're just doing it. So what we need to do, gentlemen, is follow Tom's advice. When there is an attack against a specific situation, the Christian community rallies. But before that ever becomes necessary, we need to live our faith. Just live it publicly, boldly, and defy those that would say we can't do it. We have a First Amendment that guarantees us the right to do exactly that. So let's live it like the Lord expects us to, in the public marketplace.
Tom, I want to thank you for your call. That was a very good call. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that, sir. And I think that the challenge is, as you said, Dave, let's just live our faith. Let's stand up and speak out. You know, there's a lesson from the New Testament, and that is that either with the Lord Jesus Christ or the early disciples, when the powers to be wanted to come down and persecute them, prosecute them, whatever the case may be, many times they would not do it for fear of the press, not the media, but for the fear of the press or the crowd, because they didn't want to cause an uproar. And I kind of think that if we as Christians would stand up and speak out more, you know, just out of a little bit of human fear, that itself could cause some of these guys to back down a little bit who are trying to say we can't pray, we can't distribute, you know, tracts or whatever the case may be. These are days in which we need to stand up. The Bible tells us that we are the pillar and the ground of truth. Unfortunately, we've even had cases where Christian counsel has told us to stand down and back off a little bit on certain occasions. We should never do that. If there's ever a time to get out the Word of God and ever a time to take a stand for the things of the Lord, it's today. So, I agree with what you said, Brother Dave. Just pray. God might answer your prayer, by the way. And you might have more opportunities to pray. Stand for the truth. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, the Lord willing. Keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.